Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, friends, and fans, to Outside the Fed here on FOW Radio. This week we have quite a big variety of shows to talk about, as the past week has been filled with quite a lot of big shows from a lot of different places. So we'll try to do each one justice. Joined as always by my co-host, the Yellow Man, Patrick Alvarez.
Hello.
And this week we have a special friend with us. As far as I know of, the first and only woman of FOW. The Scream Queen, Scream Queen Tamika. She was on our road trip as we went to PWX a couple months back. So we'd like to welcome her back to the show. Patrick, how are you? Tamika, how are you doing tonight?
I'm wonderful.
I am awesome, and I am honored. I know I was the only lady. That's awesome. Maybe I'm the first lady of FOW now.
Yeah, the first lady of FOW.
There you go.
That's it. The first and only lady of FOW. Like I said, I don't think to my knowledge, there has never been another woman on FOW.
I've got nobody else to chick fight now. Please.
No, I think there was one who was reluctant and did not speak the whole time.
Which means I can take her. All right.
That's right.
There we go.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. Then she wasn't on the show if she didn't. Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Right. Duh, duh. Okay, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Nobody cares, though.
Yeah. Nobody cares. These episodes.
The first and only.
I'm the only one that counts. There we go.
That's it. So. Now, the reason we brought you with us, Tamika, is you are a wrestling fan and have been to many live wrestling shows with us, but you were at a few shows this weekend that myself or Patrick were not at or available to be at. So we wanted to kind of get your first-person perspective on some of those shows and just also to share with us your thoughts and feelings and knowledge as the about the rest of the shows that happened this past week and things we could potentially look forward to, everything outside the Fed. I want to go ahead and start with the first show on Friday. It was probably the first in a many that happened this weekend. I want to talk about Ring of Honor's Death Before Dishonor. It was on traditional pay-per-view, iPay-per-view, I think Fight TV app or Flips app, whatever one they're using that I don't know how many people actually use. So, of course, they brought in several of the New Japan talents. They brought in Shibata and Takahashi and Girls of Destiny. They brought in Yano and Roppongi Vice. Roppongi Vice is kind of New Japan, kind of Ring of Honor, because they made a lot more appearances, I guess, with Ring of Honor than some of the others. And the Unbreakable Aces, Tanahashi and Elgin, and Los Ingobernables de Japón of Naito and Evil were all brought in for this event. I've ranted more than enough times about the use and potential overuse of New Japan talent on big Ring of Honor shows. I want to see if our Scream Queen has any thoughts about Ring of Honor bringing in New Japan talents, how it potentially affects the company either positively or negatively.
Well, it's good for people who don't get a chance to see guys from New Japan, like. I watch, you know, a little bit of everything, and I've watched some of these guys just, you know, doing the New Japan thing, and just IGWP and watching all those guys or what have you. But if I was just a traditional, hey, what's on TV, and I see these guys and go, oh, look at these guys. So while it exposes both companies to fans who they would not traditionally see, it seems like it's getting really heavy on the ROH side, where they're bringing all these guys in and they're losing sight of your quote unquote homegrown talent, where your card is literally half and half, where it's week in, week out, these big cards, and you've got these names who they're missing the boat on, who I think, like, are just going to eventually, you know, just up and take their balls and leave because they're not getting showcased. You know, it's hard out there on the scene, and these guys are still doing indie dates because they're not getting TV time because, you know, these guys are coming from across the pond, excuse me, the big ocean, getting TV time, and they're not able to because, you know, whatever their agreement is for TV to showcase this other talent. So while I understand this is a huge pay-per-view, it's a huge pay-per-view that they really, really could have had a lot more of their own talent on and I think still been successful.
That was kind of what we've kind of talked about, is that it almost is that they rely very heavily now. It's becoming expected now that anytime they have a big event that they need, at least the fans expect them to have at least a handful of New Japan talent. But the thing is, most of the New Japan talent is not there consistently enough to be really mixed into storylines very heavily. So they come in for a showcase match. 95% of the time, the New Japan talent will win, and then they go away. And then, like you said, the homegrown talent's kind of there, and they take losses, and they're pushed out of spots for TV time, and, you know, for these fun matches, but essentially they're a throwaway.
Right.
We've talked, like you said, a lot about the use of Japanese talent, New Japan talent, and another pet peeve is also the fact that, you know, how they allow the Ring of Honor talent to bring the New Japan belts and vice versa, like it's their own. And I think that in a way sort of devalues their own Ring of Honor belts, because you're looking at these like equals. So if you look at, for example, what WWE's doing with so many belts, in this case, it's kind of like if you have a Raw and SmackDown, you have your New Japan Ring of Honor, and you have all these multiple belts. So to me, I get it, because there is prestige behind it, I don't feel like they should put so much of an emphasis to where they're always with those New Japan belts at a Ring of Honor shows. With that said, this pay-per-view was, I thought, was a very good one. There was no question that with the amount of talent that they had, that it was going to be a great show. A couple of matches that stood out to me. The Four Corner Survival match for the number one contendership to the TV title with Dijak versus Rush, White, and Kamaitachi was great. Dijak being the number one contender. We got to see him live, for AWE not too long ago. And somebody that they really need to make sure they keep pushing, because this guy, he's got everything to make it in any company. And I think that they need to focus on him a lot to make him a big part of their shows. Another match I really enjoy, Hangman Adam Page versus Jay Briscoe in an Anything Goes match. That was also really fun. Okada versus Castle. To me, it's very intriguing because both of them are huge baby faces, and it's just seeing Okada react to some of Castle's, you know, mannerisms and things. Really fun to watch, and really enjoyed the match. And then the main event, which, you know, I gotta say, I'm doing a good job of predicting some of these non-WWE title matches, because Adam Cole was my pick to win the Ring of Honor title. We talked about this last week, how this is the time. If anybody is going to benefit from beating Jay Lethal and his reign, Adam Cole had to be the guy. And, you know, that's what we saw. Now, Adam Cole is the Ring of Honor world champion, and it's fresh, and I think that hopefully he'll be booked more consistently on the top of the cards, and he'll be a full-time main event guy instead of somebody who's been up and down the card. So overall, though, it was a really fun card and a lot of great matches. I did not get to see the dark match between Candice LeRae against Vedder Scott, but I heard
that I'm assuming that will be released on a Wednesday for the Women of Honor Wednesday. It's kind of what they do with most of these matches. Like when they do the TV tapings, they'll film kind of a Women of Honor match between each set of tape, between each taping week, so to speak. And then they'll release those chronologically just for free on the YouTube page. So I'm assuming they do the same with this match. Cause I was like you, I was looking forward to seeing Candice versus Beta Scott.
Now I did find out also on another note is that as part of their upcoming Field of Honor tour, they will be doing another Women of Honor show. So I'm really looking forward to that.
A full Women of Honor show. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still concerned to see, like, interested to see how the reception was for the one show. Like, did it, you know, I guess purchasing wise, if I'm curious to see if a lot of people purchased it online. You know, cause I know if you bought a ticket to the main event, that was happening that day, then you would also, then your ticket was also good and would get you into the Women of Honor show earlier that day. So I'm wondering how, I mean, I guess it was popular enough that they decided to do another.
It must have done well enough in their eyes. They're reaching out, just online and social media, listening to like Taylor and Veda kind of, do some stuff and talk about Women of Honor, that the company is really starting to push and roll. They're picking up in showcasing talent like Kelly Klein. So I think they were pleasantly surprised with the reaction that they were getting. And they've got some people in their pipeline, too, from the Ring of Honor Dojo, some ladies who they want to get out there, too, and get some experience and just kind of showcase them. I remember back when Ring of Honor was in Tennessee, seeing ODB work with a girl, I can't remember her name right now, but I know that she was in the dojos, and it was, you know, it was her first match, and like they legit said it was her first match. But now I've seen her pop up on a couple of things now, what they're saying, oh yeah, she's in another match. So I think they're catching on that, you know, women's wrestling is springboarding into another level, and that they want to jump in and get in on it while they can. And I think that's why they're giving away the Women of Honor, and they're also doing another taping and kind of getting out there into the forefront of it as best they can.
So do you think that, how long do you think it will be before they create a Women of Honor championship?
They have the ability to do it now. They really do, just because they're open and they can pick up so many talented ladies out there.
You guys talked about Candice. For a tournament or what have you. Yeah.
Right. You talked about Candice. They have Veda. Taylor is really good. Kelly Klein is like, oh my gosh, I've been watching her, and she's a beast, super beast, you know. You can pull in ODB, who's not doing a full-time schedule, but will still do some dates.
There's also several others that are, like, there's Sumi Sakai, and there's Mandy Leon, and there's several others that they've kind of brought in for multiple dates, like Mary Dobson and Solo Darling. And
they brought Kimberly once, too, early this year.
So they have options.
They have options. They could do it. I don't think they're going to do a title, per se. But for them to, through a tournament, would, I think, be a good move on their part, because it would, again, focus on the women's wrestling and getting it out to the forefront to give their fans other options. I mean, if you didn't watch Women of Honor, you wouldn't really know that Taylor wrestles. You just see her, you know, balleting, but to see her, you know, lace up a pair and get in the ring, you're like, oh, she can wrestle. Yeah, you know, that's why they bump her around. So I think it would be good for them to kind of incorporate a tournament, but not necessarily name a champion. Just again, put those ladies out there, showcase them more, and to show that, you know, this independent women's wrestling scene has a lot more to offer than what the alternative is that people watch every Monday, Tuesday, or whatever night.
Yeah, I know, mean, we kind of had talked about possibly by the end of the year doing a championship.
Having a championship.
But at this point, you know, if they haven't announced something in the next couple of months, you know, I mean, if they do bring a championship, I would say, you know, wait for the WrestleMania card and just do it there at Super Card of Honor, where you'll have all the ladies available.
Yeah. Well, see, my thing is they could do it tournament style, and they could string it out to where, like, the finals of the tournament are maybe a final battle. Because, like, the biggest running rivalry that they have now, as far as the two women who could be in control, it's Taylor and Mandy Leon, as far as you have your top heel and your top face. And when I was at the TV taping in Charlotte, they had a match between Mandy and Taylor that that after the match was done, they continued to fight, and Taylor eventually struck Mandy Leon with a chair, and Mandy had to be kind of helped to the back. So to me, it seems that that's kind of the longest running feud, as they were kind of two of the first women that they started kind of pushing as Mandy's from the Ring of Honor dojo. And Taylor's been with the House of Truth for so long. So my guess would be that they would at least be, if they did a tournament, like in the quarterfinals, if not the finals, would come down to them in a no disqualification match or something. But I mean, we've yet to see, as of now, a Women of Honor match on the main, like on the pay-per-view card. Like, this match was on the card, but it wasn't on the actual pay-per-view between Candice and Beta Scott. So I think if they want to do it, the next couple months is kind of when they need to start getting this moving. Because I think they're already kind of generating a buzz just doing it the way that they're doing it, but they need to kind of kick it up to the next level. If they want to do something big and have it come to Final Battle, which is their biggest show of the year. Whether you can say the WrestleMania card for Super Card of Honor is, but as far as traditionally, storyline wise, Final Battle has always been their big show. So now we will continue just to Ring of Honor, just to kind of keep our company separate. For this week on Ring of Honor television, you know, it comes on, you can see it on Wednesdays on Comet TV, or it's a bunch of different places you can watch on their website. That's usually where I catch it. So it's the first show they had after Death Before Dishonor. There was some decent wrestling, but it seems there wasn't a whole lot of big storyline.
Yeah, content, not I much. Guess.
Yeah, there was just kind of a little bit of continuation, and they were kind of this was like the first show that they had that featured one of the CMLL debuts, as they announced last week. They were, along as well as having New Japan guys come in, they were also going to be having luchadors from CMLL come in. So, although that's kind of cool, and you get to see these guys in dream matches, it kind of comes back to, okay, now you have a bigger pool of guys to come in and defeat your main roster. Depending on who the guys are. But there was also some people we've seen a little bit of and haven't seen as much of, like Jonathan Gresham was on the show.
That was a great match too. The way he's that kind of Paige and Gresham went at it, I really enjoyed that match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, see, and Adam Page has been somebody since he turned heel and kind of went with the, you know, at the time he was the young boy for the decade, and he started kind of getting on his own. He started really clicking with me. Like when he was first in Ring of Honor, just as like the Southern, you know, Southern baby face, like good looking young Southern guy was like his gimmick. You know, like he felt so bland, but
right.
I think he's able to show a lot more personality especially now as the Hangman, that he has like a distinct character.
And being part of Bullet Club also helps.
Yeah. That definitely helps you get over being associated with the Bullet Club, I would say. So Gresham, of course, ended up taking the loss against Paige in this match. Some of the couple of the matches they had were Kamitachi and Stuka Jr.
Right, that was the guy from CMLL.
I guess it's this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's they technically tried to bill it as as New Japan versus CMLL instead of Ring of Honor versus CMLL, but because Kamitachi is technically a guy in New Japan, he's just here on a prolonged excursion. But so that was Kamitachi, of course, getting the win there.
And especially the way he did it, it was fun.
Yeah, he tries to unmask him, right, and then rolls him up while he's
trying to cover his face.
Yeah, yeah. Which yet again kind of shows, you know, Kamitachi being kind of the heel, as he's now kind of aligned him. He's kind of the young boy of the addiction, in a sense, as they're kind of taking him under their wing. But the main event was, I haven't watched this match yet, but from everything I've heard, it was pretty darn awesome. Jay Briscoe versus Jay White, and they ended up battling to a 20-minute TV time limit draw. I can only imagine how heavy and hard hitting that one was.
Oh, dude, it was everything you expected it to be. And you know, you think about the fact that these, you know, Jay, you know, coming from the New Japan Dojo, he, you know, he's coming in here as mostly unknown. But you know what? I tell you, the fans have really taken, you know, a like for Jay White. And the crowd was definitely split. A lot of, you know, Jay White Briscoe chants, you know. And you would definitely see these two guys going at it, just hitting each other, you know, with all these elbows and punches, and they were just going at it. And I'm glad that this went to a time limit draw, because you could have seen him wrestle, you know, for a whole lot longer, and you could probably want to see a match between these two later on for it to mean something and to actually have a finish, you know, decisively, but not, you know, for, you know, a Ring of Honor TV, you know, show that maybe not as many people will watch as maybe at a future pay-per-view. But it was definitely cool how they played it, having the trainers come out and check on both guys after the match was called, you know.
Yeah,
so added to it. So it was really cool to see that.
I think Jay White gains a lot from just showing that he can, like, go the distance with Jay Briscoe,
right?
You know, because I think that shows more than if he goes out there and takes a hard fought loss.
Before the match, I thought it was going to be a clean, you know, an easy win for Jay.
Yeah, for Briscoe, yeah. But so here's the biggest thing that hurts that Ring of Honor sometimes is coming off a big pay per view, usually a week or two of the TV after that pay per view was taped prior to the pay per view, so there's minimal follow up as far as what happened on the pay-per-view. And I think that this show kind of was hurt by that, because this was taped, you know, this show was taped earlier, before the pay-per-view.
And you can notice like that.
Yeah. I mean, and some of it you can notice by the guys' looks or what have you, but, you know, so they really weren't able to follow up too much about Adam Cole winning the belt, and they weren't really able to follow up too much about, you know, which other direction things might be going. So they just had three solid matches, and that's fine. That's fine. That's one of the things Ring of Honor was built on, solid, competitive, athletic matches. But as far as having an episodic television show, I think you need to be able to carry things over well enough that you're not just kind of having space and time holder shows, which is this one kind of felt like at times.
Yeah, a couple of things that stood out to me outside of the wrestling. You know, they put out a package with the whole Steve Corino, BJ Whitmer, Kevin Sullivan ordeal.
Oh, yeah.
So it looks like that's not over. And sort of explains why Steve Corino is not part of the announcing team right now. It's because, you know, he's having, you know, he's out there confused and tormented by the fact that Kevin Sullivan is in his head now, and so it looks like that may eventually come up. And then of course we had the promo with the Bullet Club, because the Young Bucks are going to be challenging Addiction for the tag titles on next week's Ring of Honor TV show. So that's going to be fun. Yeah. But that's one thing, like you were saying, how like they taped this beforehand. Well, you know, Adam Cole was there with no belt. And that was, right. you know, very noticeable. It's like he just won this belt. Yeah. Wouldn't he be wearing it?
It's very telling. And the persona of Adam Cole would be boasting about winning the championship.
Yeah.
Even if he was there to just kind of support his friends, he'd still have the belt and be like, dude, I'm the fucking champion. Like, that's Adam Cole.
Right.
Yeah. So overall, it was a decent show. But like you said, you could kind of see that, you know, there's still something missing, you know, following a pay-per-view. But I'm looking forward to next week. The Young Bucks is challenging the Addiction for the tag titles. Now, Tamika, who do you predict as the winner?
Why would you make me choose? You know, I absolutely love the Addiction. I do. I mean, you got these guys, and they've got their new little young boy from New Japan, and they're teaching him the way of the villain. But then you have the Young Bucks who, you know, just throw them in there with anybody, and it's going to be exciting to watch. But I see the Bullet Club. I see the Young Bucks. I mean, why not have all the gold and all the power in ROH and just run amok, putting the belts on them and just watching them and Cole and everybody just run around and, you know, do crazy things. So, like the Addiction, I would like them to retain, but I really, really think the Young Bucks are going to pull it out.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, I'm with you on that one. I definitely think that they may take the gold, the Young Bucks, and they the Bullet Club continue to take over, you know, the Ring of Honor. So that's a good way that they're playing it off, and so I like that.
Yeah. Even if it doesn't fall that way, like the story behind it of them trying, I think is strong. Because I mean, realistically, the Addiction versus the Young Bucks as the Bullet Club, it's technically a heel match. The Bullet Club are trying to take over Ring of Honor and bring them down, and the Addiction are in Ring of Honor only for the glory of themselves. So they're technically both bad, you know, battling heel forces. But I think the story of the, you know, just, I think it's kind of comes down to the egos of the two teams, right. You know, one wanting to be up for themselves and the other trying to take over and bring down Ring of Honor. I guess is kind of a story there, as opposed to somebody trying to valiantly take the titles to restore honor, prestige, or something of that nature. We're still kind of a ways away from a few like that, I think.
Yeah, another match I'm looking forward to for next week is the Cabinet against Dalton Castle and the Boys. So that should be entertaining there, as the Cabinet is trying to make wrestling great again.
Yeah, it's a pretty terrible gimmick, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not working for WWE. Really, it's not going to work for Ring of Honor.
Yeah, the problem is that neither of the three guys really do that much for me. Caprice, Titus, and especially Kenny King. Like, none of them just really do that much for me. So you put three mediocre kind of guys together, like, their mediocrity doesn't increase to a level of good or great. You just have a larger piece of mediocrity.
Okay, well, can you say there's the same thing going on in WWE with, unfortunately to say, Bob Backlund, Darren Young, and Titus O'Neil? You got three guys who are mediocre, and
it's still mediocre. Same thing. It's something for them to do, and that's kind of what's kind of all it is now. It's just something for these group of guys to do.
It's where, again, this oversaturation of outside talent doesn't leave them the opportunity to try to develop more of that homegrown talent. I know you said Kenny King and Titus, they don't do anything for you. I like them as the All Night Express. Caprice is an old school, you know, guy who you can get him in there and just kind of do whatever. At least put him against some guys and help make help make them, you know, help get them over, help, yeah. you know, put them out there. But again, you have to group these guys together because you can't do anything else with them. You know, Dalton Castle and the Voice, yeah. they're a core group and you know, they're entertaining and that's their thing. But these guys together, when I was like, the Cabinet, what the hell? I'm like, oh, really? Come on, guys. Is this all? Yeah. Is this all you got?
So, the podium, and they had the Job Squad / ROH Dojo come out as, like, their supporters and all this. And I was like, oh, jeez.
Right, yeah, right. It's totally just like, you got nothing else for these guys, huh? Sorry, yeah. fellas, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty terrible. Hopefully, either the gimmick itself can evolve and become something more interesting, or it dissolves and these guys are given better opportunities somewhere. Now, somewhere. I'd like to go ahead and shift gears from Ring of Honor for the time being and go to some of the shows that our Scream Queen was at. This past weekend, which you were at quite a lot of places as far as amount of land covered.
I was making towns, boys. yeah. I was out there.
The first one was Friday. Was it Friday? Was the Evolve 66? That was Friday. That was the one in
Joppa, Maryland. Right?
No. Yeah. Joppa, Maryland. Okay. Yeah, that was on the 19th. That was Friday.
Okay, So tell us, I mean, you don't have to sit here and try to remember the full card. Just kind of tell us some highlights for you.
Well, first of all, tell us what time you left.
The show itself. Yeah.
The time we left. Oh,
you guys
left Atlanta.
Drove, right?
We drove, yeah. Left Atlanta at like 2, 3 in the morning. Yeah, got on the road and got there in enough time to, you know, kind of do drop off bags and get a little something and then hit the show, you know, because there was a meet and greet with Cody Rhodes. That was his first post WWE show. So there was an opportunity for a picture autograph session with Cody, and we wanted to make sure we got there for that, which that was really interesting. It was good, and they were selling, you know, opportunities at the door as well. So poor Cody, he'd go back to the back thinking it was over because it was only supposed to be an hour, and they'd go get him and go, hey, we got more people. So it was good, and he was very accommodating, very accessible. He talked with everybody, little stories. I mean, professional. He's been doing this in, you know, the E forever, autograph signings, I guess, where, you know, you make a little conversation, but everybody was felt special for your extra, yeah. however much money it was, but yeah. nice guys. I mean,
because it's only realistically a minute or so for him, but it means so much more to us as fans, you know, to feel that he's making a concerted effort to try to connect and be there, you know.
Yeah, so we had some girls swooning, some guys, you know, kind of fist bumping each other. So it was really nice, and it was like, okay, you know, we told him we came from Atlanta, and he was like, wow, and all this other stuff. So it was pretty cool. Yeah,
if he only known everything you guys went through to get to this point, it was definitely interesting.
Yeah, making these trips just to go see wrestling, it is an interesting thing. So yeah, we didn't want to bore him with all the gory details, but he was very appreciative. Like, wow, that was great, and all this stuff. So but the Cody Rhodes thing, it did a nice, I guess, draw for the crowd that people were going to come out for this show. But I think Cody was very, very well received for his first independent show. Of course, what you had Cedric on the card, and Cedric and TJ Perkins at a CWC Spotlight. They were the first match, which was surprising for me. I thought maybe they would be someplace else on the card.
A little bit higher on the card, yeah.
Yeah, potentially. Like, literally, first match, I was like, whoa, really? Okay, here we go.
Guns a-blazing. Guns a-blazing.
Right. It wasn't a bad match. It was a really good match. I've seen them separately, and I'd never seen them go against one another. So they, I don't want to say played it safe. They did a really good match. I was surprised that TJ went over. TJ won. And I was like, wow, okay. He, you know, made Cedric tap out to like a knee bar or something. I was like, holy crap, all right. But it was pretty good. The crowd was into it from Jump Street, so that was always, that's always nice to see and hear. Everybody was like into it, and they Stokely Hathaway with ringside. Stokely Hathaway with TJ is hilarious. If you've never watched, just watch the interaction. Stokely, you know, doing this thing and saying TJ is the best and saying that his price is going to go up and Stephanie better call. It was really funny. Like, I was like, all right, really? Okay. So they're, you know, milking that connection and kind of getting that over on their, or they're shooting that for their, iPay-per-view or what have you, but, they were getting that in there and, it was really kind of fun and cool. And Stokely didn't say $9.99. The crowd had to prompt him, so I don't know if TJ's price dropped out because of that. But that was really kind of cool with them.
Yeah, now they did have a lot of great matches. That one of the bigger matches, the co-main event, was the no holds barred match for the Evolve title. Timothy Thatcher defending against Matt Riddle, and of course Matt Riddle, super over with the crowd. And I know that we had talked in the past, you know, previewing this card about how, you know, this was the best time to get the title to Matt Riddle. And I know that it was a very Matt Riddle-friendly crowd. How was the experience with, you know, Thatcher now, you know, being successful in defending the belt, defeating Matt Riddle? How was the reaction of the fans live when Riddle didn't get the title?
Everybody was shocked. I think everybody expected Riddle to get the title. It was a hard-hitting match. I mean, they really went at it. Thatcher, up close and in person, he's another beast. And he was a scary beast because he just really was going after Riddle, and the ending of the match where he wouldn't let go of the hold, and that right there, I think the crowd reacted to even more so. They wanted Riddle to win, you know, but the fact that, you know, not only did he not win and he's getting beat, now you won't let go of the hold. So it was great to see Drew Gulick. I'm gonna screw his name up. Gulick,
right,
whatever.
Yeah, Drew Gulick.
Gaelic, like when he came in and, you know, helped break up the hole there, that guy, he was already over with the fans, but the fans popped even louder for that. They wanted to see those two go right then and there. They didn't want to wait the next night. And they wanted Thatcher to kind of prove himself worthy like everybody else did, like for the belt. And it was just kind of cool, a nice, like, tense way to kind of end that whole segment with those guys. Where they're helping Riddle out and these two are doing a stare down, and the crowd just ate it up because they knew what was going to happen the next night. And I was like, wow, I got wrestling the next night, but I want to watch, you know, the next show because this is going to be good. So, but yeah, like you said, heavy, heavy crowd favorite in Riddle, but I think everybody was more into what happened after the match, that interaction and just that tension right there to see those two go at it. It was like waiting for the other shoe to drop, and everybody wanted it to happen, and they just had to wait till the next night for it to happen.
I was going to say, so the crowd was a little bummed that Riddle didn't pull off the win, but I guess by putting that match on second to last, they were hoping to ensure that the crowd would at least go home happy. I mean, putting Cody Rhodes versus Zack Sabre Jr. on last. How was that? How was Cody's first match side of the E? And how do you think he did against someone the caliber of Zach?
Honestly, I was a little scared for Cody. I haven't been to as many indie shows and you know, WWE shows and seeing his work there, I didn't know how he would come off with an indie crowd, if they would really kind of be into it with him, or if they would, like, you know, kind of boo him out of the building. Cody more than held his own, not surprisingly, but to my delight. He came out and, you know, new gear, of course, kind of, I don't want to say new attitude, but he came out and he looked like he was ready to have fun. He matched up really good with Zach. Zach, of course, is, you know, technical wizard. Let's just, you know, whatever, call it whatever you want to call him, but the guy's good. And Cody did not miss too many beats, you know. You say, oh, you can put Zach in there with anybody, he'll make him look good. You know, you got to bring something to the dance yourself, and Cody did his work, you know. They were working on Cody's arm, and Cody's going after the legs. He did this nice, like, dragon screw whip or what have you, and, you know, he kept pace pretty good for his first match. I don't think there were any nerves. I think he just kind of went out there and did his thing, and it felt good for him. I think as he continues to do more shows and go out there against different people and different types of people, different styles, this one was really the right one for him to be stepping into the ring for the first time after the E and going for it. Like, he did really well.
It's awesome. Good to hear. I was really excited about, you know, the possibility, I guess, of seeing him and kind of getting to see him branch out and try things that other people might have said, well, maybe we'll leave that to somebody else. You know, maybe we'll leave that for somebody else. Save that move. Don't do that because, you know, that's somebody else's spot, and those kind of things. Whereas on the indie, you're a bit more your own boss. I mean, you don't want to step on too many toes, but you're a bit more your own boss and you can kind of plan things out a little more. So that was Friday's show. About how long did the show go? Was it about 3 hours, maybe more?
Show was 3 hours, like, okay. A flat 3 hours. They got it in, no intermission. They just ran through it.
Wow. Okay. Well, so you weren't at 67, but we'll go ahead and at least kind of hit some highlights on it. I know, Patrick, you watched it live, correct?
Not live, VOD. I'm a VOD kind of guy.
Okay, so that's true. You're a VOD kind of guy, especially because there's a lot of stream issues.
Yeah, they tend to have some stream issues.
So tell me some of your thoughts about 67, just a couple highlight matches.
Well, I definitely think that the Ethan Page versus Kobe Durst match was a really good opener. Kobe Durst, of course, known more Northeast. That was fun to watch to me. I enjoyed that one. Matt Riddle defeating Tommy End. Boy, that one, I mean, I don't know anyone has seen a bad Matt Riddle match. And maybe I'm too biased because I'm just in love with the man. But, yeah, they had a great match. And, you know, Tommy End, you know, there's a lot of, you know, positives and negatives. And sometimes the negatives can outweigh the positives. But for somebody who, you know, is WWE bound and he's doing his last few dates before he goes to WWE, yeah, I think Tommy End, definitely him and Matt Riddle, you know, had a great match. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Cedric Alexander. Well, you know, what can you say? We saw this match live at PWX not too long ago. Seen it again. It was just, you know, another clinic. And I can't wait to see these guys more and more often. You know, Cedric, as we know, is moving up to WWE. Zack Sabre Jr., not yet, but I know the door is open for when he is ready. To me, of the two matches for Cody Rhodes this weekend, to me the bigger one was this one versus Chris Hero. Because, I mean, while Zack Sabre Jr. is one of the best, if not the best technical wrestler, Chris Hero, in most people's opinions, is the greatest independent wrestler ever. You know, he's shown us time and time again why he's so great and how awesome he is. And his style is so much more hard-hitting as it is in the indies, less than it is in the Fed, although that's starting to show more and more there, that I thought this would be the bigger test for Cody. And indeed, it was, and he held his own. He, you know, he took everything Hero had. Hero picked up the win here, but alas, it was a really good match. Now, a treat, Joey Styles was on the arena, and he actually got to call the Evolved title match between Timothy Thatcher and Drew Gulak. Thatcher, of course, retained the title, and then, you know, so that was kind of a treat having, you know, Joey Styles, you know, doing commentating, because, you know, being released from WWE, it's going to happen so soon.
Yeah.
And then what's got to be like the biggest thing to me was, you know, we had this 6-man tag match for the Evolved titles. You know, it was a 6-man tag team match with Drew Galloway, Dustin, you know, the former Chuck Taylor, and Ethan Carter III. And they defeated Catch Point, which was Fred Yehi and TJP, with Ethan Page, because Tracy Williams, was not there. And, you know, of course, Team TNA, as I like to call them, picked up the win. To me, to retain the titles, but to me, the biggest thing was after the fact when Cody came out and Joey Styles came out, and Joey basically threw out, you know, he's Mr. Pipe Bomb, right? He's the one that they shoot straight from the hip, and he basically tore the TNA guys a new one. And dude, he went all out. And this is available, I believe, on YouTube. You can go to Book It Gabe, forget Polsky's Twitter. The link should be up there, Joey Styles and his promo after the show. I can't really put into words how funny, just cool it was to hear him do that again. You know, be able to just be Joey Styles, and, you know, the way that he talked to the TNA guys, it's just, you know, it's better if people just go online and check it out. It's available, but that was really fun. So Evolve 67, and, you know, things have been set up now for the next few shows. So I'm looking really forward to see the next few Evolve shows, because there's this dilemma, you know, and they have these guys, and you would have thought that Cody would be part of with Galloway, Dustin, and EC3 as the anti-WWE guys. But no, in this case, he's actually battling them. So it's kind of weird.
So here's the biggest thing, that my biggest question that comes out of this weekend is, who do you think is the next challenger, or are the next challengers for Timothy Thatcher? It seemed that a lot of people thought that Thatcher was not going to escape the weekend with his championship. Either he was going to lose it to Riddle, or he was going to lose it to Gulak. He was able to defeat both men. So where does he go from here?
Well, where does he go from here? Well, I guess you could say that's to be determined, but we'll have to wait and see, because right now, you know, they're putting out the matches for 68 and 69. There's not a title match set up yet, so I guess we'll have to wait and see right now, because what the focus of the next few shows is, saying goodbye to Johnny Gargano, who's 68 and 69 are going to be his last two Evolve shows. So right now, the focus is going to be that, plus, you know, the continuing battles between Team TNA and Team, you know, cruiserweight WWE. So we'll see what's gonna happen. But who could be the next challenger? I don't know. I mean, would I be surprised if it was, you know, Galloway or EC3? Not really. I mean, to me, I would probably go with maybe EC3 if they want to involve him in that battle.
So do you think that Gargano gets a shot on, as it's being his last, potentially his last weekend? Do you think they give him the shot at the championship?
I don't think so, because his matches have already been scheduled. At 68, he'll be wrestling his last singles match against Zack Sabre Jr. And then at 69, he will be teaming up with Cody Rhodes versus Drew Galloway and Chris Hero. Hero, of course, is joined up with Team Anti-WWE, so we're going to see that. So his matches are already set.
His matches were already set then, okay.
Right.
That makes sense. Okay, so those were Evolve 66 and 67. So as I was a little mistaken about the extent of your travels, Scream Queen, we do know, I do know for a fact, that you were on Sunday in Charlotte for PWX Scouts Honor. It was kind of spoken, but not really spoken, I guess, until the day of the actual show, that this was going to be Cedric Alexander's last independent professional wrestling date before going to the E, I guess, going to the Performance Center.
No, he's going straight to the Cruiserweight division, as announced.
He's going straight to Raw. They're not even okay. Well, I think
did they announce that? Because I didn't hear the full announcement. I know that Cedric said that it was his last match.
WWE announced earlier this week. The Cruiserweight division begins on September 19th, and Cedric was one of the five guys shown named as part of the guys coming into the Cruiserweight division.
Gotcha. Okay. So,
I saw the clip. I saw the pictures, but I never saw anything officially.
Daniel, we talked about this yesterday.
We did a little bit. We did some, but the thing is it's, you know, like, I was unsure of whether they were, they would still have some of these guys bounce back and forth.
They probably will.
Yeah, I think maybe a couple of guys may be bouncing back and forth, but it does not seem that Cedric is going to be one of those guys. I think they want him exclusively with them, and it's not typical for anybody who signs with WWE who they put under, you know, like with Gargano, this being his last weekend. They're not going to play around and let you go and do indie dates and then come back and play on the big shows, you know? I think you could get away with that on NXT because, again, it's just on the network. It's not broadcast television. It's, you know, streaming or whatever you want to call it. But if you're playing the big shows, you're theirs until, you know, whatever endeavor you part.
Yeah.
Whatever endeavors do you part? So, but yeah, at the end of the show, jump right to the end of the show, right? Cedric did say, you know, that he was going to be, that was his last PWX show for, what did he say? The foreseeable future. And that, you know, he was being heavily scouted for the WWE. So, again, it was cat out of the bag, confirmed but not confirmed, that I won't be on these shows, you know, anytime soon. So, that end of the match, his match was for the PWX World title against Jake Manning, Man Scout. They had a they had a really good match. Man Scout kind of got beat up before the match, and Cedric ran in to do the save earlier in the show. The Revolt jumped him and kind of busted Manscout open, and so, you know, he was working injured, working hurt, and came out, and, you know, could have went either way, but for, I think, a last match, these two, they just really went in and kind of gave it to one another, and at the end of the show, both guys got on the mic and very respectful of one another, and Manscout, I kind of proud of Cedric, and, you know, that he was one of their own, so to speak, you know, had come up through their system and doing their, working with high spots there in their ring and what have you. So it was a really nice send off, very emotional, for those guys. And, then Anthony Henry decided to kind of ruin the party and jump in and come in and kind of proclaim that he now has Cedric's spot there, and he wants, you know, to, I guess, be the man, so to speak. But that show, that PWX show, was a good it was a good show. They had some great talent, from top to bottom. Sammy Callahan and Corey Hollis kind of stand out to me, those guys. Callahan is, of course, just amazing and hard hitting as hell. And Corey Hollis, you know, has been back and forth, doing indie shows and doing NXT stuff, and he's getting nice heat when he comes out and they tell you that he's from Full Sail University, and he was on the phone with Paul, who said that Corey Hollis was a pussy, and what can I say that? I'm sorry. But, you know, Callahan was a pussy, and that's why basically he wasn't working for them anymore. So those guys, they had a really good match, of course. Callahan just beating the hell out of Hollis all over the place. David Starr had a nice match with Gunnar.
Viking. Yeah, that was for the PWX Innovative TV title.
Yeah. I was pulling for David Starr, but Gunnar pulled it out. they had David Starr, of course, likes to do his thing, and Gunnar wasn't having any parts of it. But it was a good match. David Starr always puts on entertaining matches, and Gunnar, I know he's doing bodybuilding too, so he just, his haircut got a lot of reaction from the crowd. They did not like it. his hair is all gone, and they were not kind to him at all. So that kind of got some entertainment. David Starr was like, "What about my hair?" So those two, you know, did a little bit of comedy, but a lot of good wrestling was there. Gosh, who else was there?
there were a lot of good matches. Moose wrestled Anthony Henry.
Yeah, Moose and Anthony Henry. Anthony Henry, folks were way into Anthony Henry before, you know, because it was before he jumped Cedric at the end of the night. Moose, not so much a crowd favorite. He tried. They had a good match. They did some spots outside of the ring. Anthony Henry is I've been watching him, and he's pretty amazing as well. So they had a really, really solid match. But the crowd was more into Henry than they were into Moose. It was just not sad, but it was almost just like, oh, this is the wrong guy to put Moose against. You need to put him against somebody else, because the size difference was good, but Henry just, the crowd loved him too much. So it wasn't you wanted Henry's, Moose to be faced.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Henry's one of their homegrown guys, so it makes sense. Like, I think just about anybody, yeah, like you said, until he kind of turned, pretty much anybody you'd put him against, he would kind of be the face against. People would be rooting for him because he is like a PWX original type guy.
I think Moose thought he would have a better reaction. But yeah, because, you know, his little hand movement and all that lovely stuff wasn't, you know, even with the kids in the crowd, it was just like, wow, okay, nobody's doing it, huh? All right.
Yeah. He probably got it as they were coming out, but once the match started, I imagine it was all Henry.
It was all Henry, just, you know, doing his thing, and like, all right, Moose, keep up. You know, Moose is a monster. He's a big boy, and he's a beast in there, and he had some, you know, nice moves, but Henry's really just the all around kind of, you see him and you go, look at this guy, and you look at that guy. He's got the moves. He's got a nice look about him. He's got Amber ringside. You know, they the two of them together, they draw your attention, and you kind of want to see what's going to happen with those two. So now, even though she's just not doing anything yet, but they still draw your attention to them.
How was the ladies' match between Kennedy Brink and Samantha Starr?
Kennedy Brink is a little monster. She was awesome. Samantha Starr wasn't impressed, but again, Kennedy Brink, just if the booking of the match was for her to smash Samantha Starr, then bravo, good job, she did that. She was total heel Kennedy, kind of playing to the crowd, but she manhandled. Those girls are both about the same size. They're not like huge girls. But at one point, I literally thought she slapped one of the sparkles off of Samantha Starr, like whatever she was wearing. Because I was like, holy crap, she slapped the sparkle off. I mean, I want to see her more, Kennedy Brink. And I think I'm going to wind up seeing her at some show. I don't think Samantha Starr was quite ready for what she ran into. She actually had to get kind of carried out at the end of the match.
Jeez.
Because Kennedy tried to kill her, and it was a pretty awesome thing to witness. So, yeah. Slapping sparkles off of girls is always a good thing.
Slapping sparkles off a girl. Goodness gracious. You saw two really big shows. I know we'll be going to some shows together over the next month or so. Do you have anything else, any other out-of-town trips, I guess, within the next few weeks planned?
Oh, my gosh, out-of-town trips. I think everything is – I was looking at my calendar, my wrestling calendar, yeah. And everything is pretty much set somewhere in and around Georgia, not too far away, as far as I can recall.
Are you doing – you're going to UIW's
Yeah, she's doing the whole Georgia 3 weeks straight. She's doing UIW. So Buchanan, Jasper, no, Buchanan, Monroe, and Jasper.
Yeah, I'll be keeping it south and keeping it southern in Georgia. Going to those shows. I'm trying to stay in the state right now since I'm making towns all over the place. But if there's something really good out there, I may, you know, jump ship, but for the next month or so, it should all be within the Georgia area.
All right. Well, you're still covering a lot of ground, even just within our home state.
Yeah, ridiculous. I'm gonna start charging somebody some mileage or something.
Did you realize it's gonna be you live a year ago, or 2 years ago, making wrestling towns?
You know, honestly, no. And I'm of the, you know, mindset that if they're in a state that I'm in, I'm going to try to go see some wrestling. So I've done Florida. I've done, like, Miami to Fort Lauderdale to Fort Myers to Orlando. And that's, you know, that's a nice stretch and drive and what have you, just to kind of watch. And these were just, like, well, one was Shine. But outside of that, those are all like WWE shows. So I've done it, and people go, "You're crazy," and I'll drag somebody with me kicking and screaming just because. But now I've got guys like you and the captain who I go, "Hey," they're going, "Hey, let's wrestle it. Let's go see wrestling." And I'm like, "All right, let's go, you know.
Let's do it,
you know."
And of course, and we can talk about what we just signed up to do this past Monday.
Yeah, that right there. Funny thing is, when they announced the date, I bought a hotel room because I'm like, well, I know I'm going to be in Orlando next year, so let me get a room. I had rooms before I had tickets to the show, so that's the kind of life I'm living right now. I'd love to be able to just, it's like, all right, let's see. There's a show Thursday in, I don't know, Idaho. All right, let's go. But not living that kind of life yet, but maybe soon, eventually, I'll get there.
Now, of course, Danny, around WrestleMania week, is when he takes his overseas vacation with the missus. So he, unfortunately, will not be able to partake in the joy that it is WrestleMania weekend, and the 10-15 wrestling shows we'll be watching. So, but you know,
can't believe you, Danger. No overseas stuff next WrestleMania. You need to like bring the wife, tell her this is overseas. Will she know the difference? No,
yeah, I think she will.
Damn,
she'll be like, these just look like arenas where wrestling's happening.
This these are old like castles,
United States. These aren't really old historic buildings.
Can we get her some Irish whiskey, rum, or something, and just, you know, tap her out with that? No? We'll talk offline. We shouldn't talk about getting your wife all drunk and not sending her overseas. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, those kind of things are could be considered crimes in various states. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Darn.
Yeah, I know you guys will hold it down for me. You know. Fill me in on all the fun that I potentially miss.
Yeah, we'll probably butt dial you at some point.
A handful of times, yeah. I would imagine. Butt/drunk, you know, whatever you guys want to call it.
I'm gonna call it butt dialing.
Butt dialing.
Yeah.
So there is, we do still have a couple topics that I wanted to hit before we call it for the night. We wanted to talk about our friends at TNA Impact Wrestling.
Speaking of Orlando.
Speaking of Orlando, indeed. Isn't that a clever segue? I didn't even know I was making a segue like that until you pointed it out to me. So thank you for my good idea that you gave me. TNA is already starting to take kind of a, I guess they're not, they're starting to take a new direction under the new leadership. I mean, it's right now the show's kind of still kind of staying the course. But there is kind of a lot going on, and it's making for good television. I mean, their matches are getting better, and even some of the crazier storylines and stuff aren't as crazy as some they've had in the past, I guess. That just kind of didn't really, you know, they had some really wild ones that like kind of fell off the face of the earth and didn't go anywhere and those kind of things. So
yeah, well, they leave the crazy to Broken Matt Hardy. So
yeah, exactly. He pretty much has the and there's a couple others that kind of take the crazy and run with it. So we got to see Moose here versus Eddie Edwards. It seems that from everything that I've been hearing, Moose isn't being as well received, at least to the live crowds there, that they were as much as they were hoping.
I think day one they did, but then you know, as he's a heel with Mike Bennett. Just, I guess, as you know, hey, you're a heel, so we're gonna boo you, and you know, and now that they at this show they had him come out to Bennett's music, so you know, you don't get the Humph, that's do true. The moose chant, and I mean, you know, and he's doing the whole thing with the elbow, but you know, it doesn't go with the music, so people don't know to follow it. And keep in mind, we're talking about, you know, Universal Studios. How many of these people, you know, there's only a percentage that are actually wrestling fans. How many of these people are just, you know, hey, we have a couple of hours to kill, let's go, you know, rest, sit down, watch some wrestling, and get some air conditioning before we hit the next set of rides.
That's very true. That's very true. You do have the people who are there, like, you know, who buy a season pass to Universal to hit all the TNA tapings. Then you have other people who, yeah, just kind of like casually drop in. Oh, they're filming a live television show. Let's go check it out. It's a wrestling show.
You know,
show.
You don't have to buy a season pass. You can get it. The TNA tapings are free. You can just roll in there.
Well, yeah, no, but you have to be able to get into Universal.
No, you can get in. Not at all. They have a separate entrance.
Oh,
yeah, they have a separate entrance. You legit can walk in off the street.
Okay. See, I thought it was always like with X, you know, with Universal entrance, you can then go in. I didn't know that there was like a, literally they'll pull you off the darn street to hop into the show. I didn't know that.
Look at that. We're making Orlando a town. We're taking you to a TNA taping. I know it sounds like punishment, but it won't be. I promise.
Well,
yeah.
I see. I do. I take most of the punishment because I watch TNA Impact, so Danny doesn't have to.
Oh wow!
Yeah, he's a good dude like that. So being that you do take that bullet for the team, what other kind of highlights are there that we should know about from this past week's edition of Impact Wrestling?
Well, coming off from their live taped a few hours ago show from last week,
yeah.
You know, we had James Storm tweeting out different things. You know, there's rumors that he's going back to NXT. He insinuated as much at a live wrestling show. He tweeted out things are happening. So we start out this show with what? But James Storm. Of course, the controversy of how he lost his King of the Mountain title to Lashley the week earlier. So he's demanding for a rematch. Out comes Billy Corgan. They exchange words. And Corgan, as the new president of TNA, suspends James Storm indefinitely. What this will mean for James Storm, I mean, all roads lead to him leaving TNA once again, which I don't blame the guy. Yes, he took a little more money to go to TNA, but as soon as he came in, you get Rude and you got Aries leaving and also Eric Young. I mean, and they're all going to NXT. So, I mean, look, I think he should just be like, can I get out of this contract? I'll go ahead and take less money that they were going to offer me. Definitely the place he should be going. He was very popular for the brief time that he was on NXT. Anyways, regardless, back to TNA. A couple of other things here. Well, we had this thing with Lashley, and of course now he's got all three titles, you know. Funny part, before he went to the ring to talk about his huge plan for the titles, he walked past
Sienna,
right, the former Allison Kay, who had her, you know, Knockouts title, and she looked at him and he goes, hey, don't get any ideas, as to say, hey, you know, you're not taking my title. And so that was kind of funny, awkward, but nonetheless. So out comes, you know, Lashley, and he goes and he makes his grand, lets people know his grand plan, that he is going to turn all these three titles into one. He's going to unify all three belts. Of course, Billy Corgan and Dixie Carter were ringside, and they were not happy about that. And, you know, they went at it for a while, and Lashley ended up throwing away both the X Division and the King of the Mountain titles. He walked away saying, I'll see you guys at Bound for Glory. But then Dixie and Billy had different plans, announced that next week there will be a battle royal with the winner facing Lashley for the TNA World Heavyweight title. So we have that. And one of the bigger things out of there, of course, is what we saw with the challenge Drew Galloway had made to EC3 to put his Bound for Glory world title shot on the line. And so at next week's Turning Point, the match has been set. It'll be EC3 versus Drew Galloway for the title shot at Bound for Glory. And, well, who other than the newest member of the TNA roster, and Rex comes out and announces that he will be the special guest referee for that match next week. So that should, show us what's going to be coming up next for Rex. Could he cost EC3 the title shot, or will, and become a heel, or will he call it down the middle and be a baby face and see where he goes from there? That'll be interesting. If EC3 does win and goes on to Bound for Glory, a program between Drew Galloway and Aaron Rex is definitely an interesting one to watch. And finally, the end was the main event, which of course had the former Hardy Boys, Broken Matt Hardy, and Brother Nero, now in full Brother Nero gear, against,
with a streak in his hair and all that stuff too, right?
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I mean, he's all.
He didn't have a streak in his hair. He has contacts. One of them is kind of a cloudy white contact, and the other one is like this little freaky ghost thing. And he had sort of the same, I like to call it operatic jacket that Matt's wearing, the ring jacket Matt's wearing. He kind of had one like for him, it was so weird. Right. It was so weird.
So they're facing the Bromance and the Tribunal in an Ascension to Hell match, which is basically a ladder match to a contract for the tag team titles. It was basically Brother Nero, for the most part, doing most of the work for him and Matt. And in the end, Matt, put himself in a situation where, he took Brother Nero down and he went and took the contract. And now Brother Nero and Broken Matt will be facing the Decay for the TNA tag titles. To me, weird meets weird, because, the Decay is a whole different type of weird.
Yeah.
I don't know how to I don't even know how I'm going to be able to watch this match happen. Tamika, what were your thoughts on TNA this week?
I did watch. I am a TNA girl. Wow, that sounded horrible. I do watch the show. I did watch this week. I liked, like you said, how Lashley walked past Sienna, and she told him, don't even try it. That was kind of cute. I'd seen little memes on the internet of that, like, hey, he's going to come for a title. So I thought it was interesting and kind of a throw to the internet wrestling community that they said it on TV. Like, yeah, we heard you guys. We saw the funny pictures. So let's, say, hey, 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 it's funny, but he's not going to get our title. I think it was a easy way for them to get all the belts off of him by him throwing down the X Division title and the King of the Mountain title. He basically relinquished them, according to Dixie and Billy Corgan. I think that was better than them putting him in a match with people from those respective divisions or people going after those respective belts, because I think it would have been a mess to kind of rehash all that again and put him against them and make it believable that somehow they beat Lashley, the World Heavyweight Champion, for this belt. So I think they did a good job of just kind of, even though it was kind of ridiculous for him to say, I'm going to unify the belts, but for them to kind of break the belt off of him. And the tag team, match is Broken Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy bit everybody who wasn't official, I think, which was awesomely weird. And he literally put a ladder on top of his brother and climbed the ladder to get to that contract, which was just, it was bizarre, but it was an entertaining kind of bizarre. The whole match was a little bit kind of kooky, but there were still some good spots in it with all of the guys going at it and doing, you know, their thing. They even, Hardy even pulled Raquel by her hair and threatened to like bite her and chase her around the ring a little bit. So it was just, it was off, but it was entertaining off. I think they've got that whole broken and brother Nero thing with this obsolete mule thing that is hilarious, but again, it makes you kind of sit and watch to see just what they're going to do next. And I think that's kind of what TNA needs, that jolt of what are they doing? Let me look and see what's happening and like, okay, this is entertaining.
Yeah. It gets people talking. I mean, it's the biggest thing. And it's almost like it kind of gave TNA a shot in the arm where everybody started saying, okay, well, we got to see what's going on here now. We have to watch this and see just what kind of stuff, if only for the Matt Hardy stuff. And then now these people start going, oh, there's a lot of good and fun stuff here too.
All right. I was watching with somebody and Matt Hardy is doing the Bound for Glory commercial. I mean, usually if you're watching and, you know, DVR or whatever, you're going to fast forward past the commercials. And
yeah.
Every time the commercial came on, they stopped because they wanted to see and listen again and watch what he was doing. So that character has gotten a lot of people kind of trying to tune in, trying to watch clips or what have you, just to see. And it is a great shot for TNA. If they can somehow keep it going and without it being too over the top, I think, or too comical or just too outrageous, I think it'll be good for them.
I think that there has been, Patrick. Yeah, I think that this has been so much buzz for TNA since Final Deletion, and you know, and the fact that then, you know, WWE would go on to copy it a couple of weeks later. So I
think that's a
huge benefit for TNA. Hopefully they can capitalize it, and you know, hopefully the next few weeks of TV leading to Bound for Glory less than 2 months now. It can lead them to some success. You know, they've taped a lot of their shows already, so let's hope that they've done them in a way that the people watching, because they're interested about seeing what this Matt and Jeff Hardy thing is all about. And bring more eyes. And look, they're bringing guys like Moose. You know, they've recently bring a lot of other indie names. You know, they have a big focus on the Carolina guys too. And
well, they brought in Aaron. I mean, you know, Aaron Rex is there now. I mean, that's a pretty big thing that I think helped bring a lot of eyes at first when he left, or when he was let go from WWE. Everybody was kind of, oh man, well, you know, it was a shame, and they were they underutilized him. Hopefully he finds somewhere where they can. And he kind of stayed hidden for a little bit, and then he's, ta-da, I've signed with TNA. So yeah, these kind of things they're doing, I think, are helping pull the audience that they probably once had that had drifted away. I think it's helping to pull that audience back.
Right, and I think with that name, like the Aaron Rex, and having the Hardy name kind of resurge out there, like, oh, they're actually still wrestling and they're doing things, I think that's pulling more eyes toward them as well. And like you said, they've taped a lot of their stuff. I've been to a bunch of their tapings, and I think they do a good job of kind of putting together the direction they want to go in and showing that on television. So as long as they, again, are at least trying to keep everything not so much, you know, stale and keeping it fresh and going, okay, listen, this was really buzzing, let's put these matches out there, let's do this sequence of, you know, out there, I think they're going in the right direction. So hopefully they get games. Like you said, I hope they keep that up, because it would be great for those guys and girls on their roster to have people watching and being really into them again. So maybe they can stop being just at Universal and do some more dates in places.
Yeah, do a lot more studios. Do a lot more touring and perhaps get a better a more widely circulated television network to even show their show on. I think a lot of people now are still finding it online. I mean a lot of people don't have Pop, or they don't know where the hell Pop is on their TV guide dial, you know? So I think a lot of people are still watching the show online.
I think if people go on their turn on their TVs, and they should go to the TV guide channel, and I think that should take them to, that should guide them to the Pop TV channel.
Yeah. It might.
I think that they should do that.
It might.
Let's hope they know which channel TV guide channel is, you know.
Yeah. Okay, there's one more big event from this past weekend that I want to talk about. And it takes us back to the land of the rising sun, to Japan, where we had the Super J Cup, the finals, and the crowning of the 2016 winner of the Super J Cup. As of right now, there have only been a total of 6 Super J Cups since 1994. This one was the first one since 2009.
Yep.
So Patrick was the one who was keeping up with this a lot more closely as far as watching the matches.
I had the pleasure of watching TakeOver Live, followed by the UFC Live on Saturday night. And I said, why not? Let's go for the trifecta. It's almost 2 o'clock.
You were already up till... Yeah, I was going to say you were already up after 1 o'clock after the UFC fight and the press conference and all that anyways.
So I went, why not? It's only Sunday morning. So
just stay up for Super J.
So I watched the show. Of course, the second round, semifinals and finals were there. The second round matches... Joshington the Lighter actually lost surprisingly to Taishi, but the way that he lost in 3 minutes by countout, because one of Taishi's people, was it the girlfriend? I don't know if it was his valet, I think, was grabbing Liger outside the ring, like basically
like was holding hugging him
and not letting him get to the ring by the 20 count. Which was hilarious.
That's a very unusual way of doing that, but I mean that worked.
Yeah. So Taishi moved on to the semifinals. Kushida defeated Kano to move on to the semifinals. On the other side, Taguchi was defeated by Kanemaru. Now, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, if you haven't seen this guy yet, it's my first time seeing him because I really don't watch Suzuki Gun, actually, you know, and outside of New Japan Pro Wrestling, don't watch anything else. But I think I'm going to start to, especially with the last few tournaments, the G1 Climax, and now this has shown me a lot of different guys that
You have like a new favorite now, a guy to research in that you found through the G1 this year. Yes. In Naomichi Marufuji.
Mm-hmm. It's the unpopular choice, apparently. Not many fans of him, but right now I am a fan. So Kanemaru, he in a big time heel, he took the W, moved on, and in one of my favorite matches, probably my favorite match of the second round, Matt Sydal defeated Will Ospreay.
We do know you love you some flippy shit.
I do. You know,
and that probably
it was very flippy. It was the most good
acrobatic and high flying match that they had in the tournament. I'm guessing.
Yeah, this was as flippy as it was going to get in this tournament.
Yeah.
So on the second round, in the semifinals, Kushida defeated Taichi, so he ended up moving on to the finals. No surprise there. He was my pick to make it to the finals. Of course, I had Ospreay beating Kushida, so my predictions for this one went out the window. But then we had Kanemaru defeating Matt Sydal. to move on to the finals. And this brought up Kushida versus Kanemaru, which was a great match. I want to go back and rewatch it because, you know, I did watch it at 5:30, 6 a.m.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was in and out of consciousness, you know, watching with one eye open.
Yeah, weren't watching as closely as you would have liked. Yeah.
So I definitely had to go back, but from, you know, from what I remember, definitely this match was over almost 20 minutes, and Kushida submitted Kanemaru. And of course, I think to me, other than Ospreay, Kushida was the best choice to win this tournament. He is, you know, their champion in New Japan. And I think that he has also taken a few other losses already, especially from the best of the Super Juniors. I think this is a good way to rehab him and make sure that, hey, he's still our top guy. So definitely, you know, a great choice to win. So it was a good tournament. And also there was a match in between with the Young Bucks defending their tag titles against the Motor City Machine Guns. So that was, you know, hey, that also was a semi-flipping match.
Yeah. A flipping super kick and good time.
Absolutely. You know, flips and super kicks. So, you know, how can it get better than that at 3 or 4 a.m. in the morning? So definitely another fun match. They had a few of the CMLL guys. They had a six-man tag with, you know, CMLL talent. So that was also cool to see. Volador Jr. was one of the guys there. So that was definitely interesting because, you know, I don't really watch much CMLL. I'm more of a AAA kind of guy. So it's always nice to be able to be exposed to some of these other promotions that I may not necessarily put all my time into. But I think I might start to. And I think that between the Best of Super Juniors, the G1, and the Super J Cup, definitely a lot of guys I want to go back and check some more out of. But it's definitely worth it. It's on the New Japan World for 999 yen, which is getting close to $10 by now. And
closer and closer to $10.
I'm telling you, I was enjoying it.
It started at like $8. Yeah, it was like $8.30, and now it's kind of working its way up.
Inflation. Well, I mean,
darn inflation.
You're helping their economy every time you buy it. I mean, I understand,
that's true.
Well, look, every time I eat rice, I think about the fact that my money is going to a good place.
That's good. Okay. That's good. That's good. At least you think of other people while eating rice.
Yes.
I usually eat rice.
And you know, you know, I followed my tradition. You know, after watching the Super J Cup, I was so inspired by Asian cuisine that, you know, this week for me, for my meals, I've had homemade General Tso's chicken and Kung Pao chicken. I know it's not Japanese, it's Chinese, I know this. However, still Asian, so same area.
I thought you were going to say sushi, so I was just going to just like, all right, that's it.
No, I don't eat sushi.
That's a damn shame.
No. God, yeah, it is, but that's kind of awesome.
So that, wow. So now I'm pretty much, Kushida's one of my top 10 in the world right now. He, everything he does just fires on all cylinders for me. You know, he brings the strong style. He brings the heavy mat wrestling and submission. He can high fly. The persona, he is over. He is so over. It's ridiculous. So I was definitely happy to see him be the one who won this tournament. But, I mean, you look at – so there's been six Super J-Cups. The winners, the only people who've won it, okay, Wild Pegasus was the first winner. It was Chris Benoit.
May he rest
The next two tournaments were won by Jushin Thunder Liger. Okay. Then you had the next two tournaments won by Naromichi Marufuji. Now you have Kushida. So I'd say they're doing a pretty good job at picking out who are the top guys and who are going to be the ones who are going to be remembered over time with this tournament. But I mean, it also helped. With the first tournament, helped introduce the world to guys like like El Samurai, the Great Sasuke, and Eddie Guerrero as Black Tiger, and you know, so many of these other guys who may not have been seen on such a wide stage, being seen, and then a lot of those guys, because of performances there, eventually getting shots in ECW and then moving to WCW, and you know, such as Eddie Guerrero becoming, you know, world champion. And it was really because of one of the bigger starts he got there. And then, of course, his team with Love Machine Art Barr. But I mean, it was, to me, I think a big portion of that is the Super J Cup.
I think it also made Liger be the, you know, the man that he is now, the legend that he is now, winning two back to back Super J's. I mean, Danny, we know that you are the biggest, you know, girl fan when it comes to, or fangirl, that's the right word.
Liger.
When it comes to Liger. Tamika, so you don't understand how big of a Liger fan Danny is. When he found out that Liger was coming to the Ring of Honor show in Atlanta, Danny was not planning on going to the show. As soon as he found out he was coming, he bought his ticket. He's like tweeting about it. He's like, you know, at least 20 tweets about it. I may be exaggerating or not really.
I was freaking out the whole day. I was at work on break, and I read this, and I'm literally like, my hand starts shaking. My phone is shaking in my hand because I'm just like, is this really happening? Is this,
wow?
Danny has been searching for Liger's US schedule everywhere, not being able to find it.
I've been searching for the last 6 months. You know, especially once he announced that he's like, I got a few good years left in me, and then I'm going to hang it up. I was like, he's going to start trying to hit places he hasn't been to in a long time, and I'm going to need to catch at least one of those. And thankfully, I don't have to drive 7 or 12 hours or whatever in order to watch him. You'll be right here in our own.
Yeah, you have to drive like 20 minutes, Danny.
Yeah, and so I can definitely do 20 minutes.
And of course, his wife is going to be filming his reaction to Liger coming in, which is the equivalent of a 12-year-old girl watching the Backstreet Boys or NSYNC or one of those. So
it's
wow.
It's gonna be fantastic, and it's gonna be posted online on FOW's face YouTube page for everyone to enjoy once it happens.
Patrick pretty much made my wife promise that she would catch my reaction for the meet and greet and went during the show when his music first hits. And he comes out so he can, because he wants to see me squeal like a little girl, pretty much.
If you cry tears, I'm hitting you in the chest and just letting you know. Just fart.
It's okay. You probably cried tears for Cedric, though, didn't you?
No, I didn't cry tears for Cedric. I'm happy for him, but no. I feel proud, and you're like, oh, this is the guy we like, you know, see, and he hung out or whatever, but no tears.
Tears that Eddie shed after getting chopped by Cedric. Tears out of joy and tears out of pain at the same time.
No, there's no crying when it comes to my wrestling. I'm sorry. Okay. We're more manly than that, okay? No tears. Okay. You can squeal, but no tears.
No tears, okay. No promises.
All right.
on that happy and wonderful and beautiful note, let's go ahead and wrap up this week's show. There are a couple big shows in Georgia coming up that we talked about that between the three of us, the combination, we will be seeing. The UIW has their West Georgia War Stories. They'll be bringing in some legends and some different people. I think Tracy Smothers is going to be there. Kelly Klein, who we talked about, is also going to be there at that show.
Tommy Ridge.
There's Bull Buchanan, who I didn't even know was still alive.
Action Mike Jackson.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, but then they were going to have the Lawler brothers, I guess, Steve and Terry, teaming together, I guess, is a rarity. I don't really know much about those Lawlers to know their history, but apparently them teaming together this day and age is quite a rare thing. Then we also have, the Marquee Wrestling event, that features a main event of Jimmy Rave and Slim J.
And Chip Day versus
Jason Kincaid.
Right.
and we have the GPW Super Show coming up on September 17th, which we'll be at as well. Going to feature a lot of great talent, a lot of
Big Van freaking Vader.
Yes, we had Carlito. Carlito, for whatever reason, was not had to cancel on them, so they bring because in.
He's
Vader.
Not as cool as Vader. I mean, we're talking about that's Big Van Vader. Like, that's an upgrade.
That's pretty much it. Vader is he's not going to spit an apple in face if people don't want to be cool. He's going to stiff the crap out of you till you cry. and it pretty much is what he's going to do. He's going to hit you with his bare paws to the side of your head too many times to where you're unconscious because you don't want to be cool.
And they tell you how the flippy guys are ruining the business.
I was going to say, yeah, then he's going to do a flip after.
He's going to do his moonsault, and he's going to say, this is how you should do flips. So they haven't announced Vader's opponent, but they did say he will be in action. So some of us are kind of crossing our fingers that they will find the smallest, most acrobatic guy that they could find to go against Vader, mm-hmm. just so we can kind of have our very own version of Ospreay and Vader here in Georgia.
How about the biggest underdog, Ray Ray?
That's, yeah, that was thinking of Ray Ray.
Rayo?
One of those guys. Yeah, Rayo maybe. But, well, like Ray Ray and Torque, they use regularly at GPW and stuff.
Vadi Morales is going to be there. I mean, he's got a good size on him.
That's true. That's true. He's a smaller guy who can move.
We're just sacrificing these kids to Vader. It's got to be sacrilegious someplace.
Well, no, it's not sacrilegious. It's I mean, you're worshiping.
It's the Georgia wrestling. It's all okay.
The demigod. You're worshiping the demigod that's Vader. You're making a sacrifice to him so that our crops grow in healthy next year. Okay.
Back in the Old Testament, they would sacrifice lambs for for the Lord. I think that we can sacrifice some of these smaller indie wrestlers for Big Van Vader.
I think it's paying their dues, and sometimes your dues is paid with your own blood.
Of course.
Last time you have to pay dues, because then from there you'll be done.
You'll be dead, or you'll be in a wheelchair or something. And there is also the Ring of Honor show, which we'll talk more about as it gets closer. There is Mucha Lucha. Lance will be returning in October.
Tickets
which we'll talk about a little
September
more.
September 1st. And yes, we're all going to be there.
It's going to be awesome. We're all going to be there. It's going to be another fantastic show, but we'll talk about that a little more as the date draws closer.
What about Dragon Con wrestling?
I don't really go to Dragon Con. I never have. I know they always do different wrestling things and they feature different matches and different companies and stuff, but I have yet to go to a Dragon Con, mostly because the price. I never remember to buy tickets when they're cheap for the whole weekend. And then by the time I think about it, they're like $90 or $100 just for the one day.
And they changed it to Thursday this year for Dragon
Con
wrestling.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, we'll probably be able to kind of talk about a little bit of some of the stuff that happened there, but I don't know if any of us will be making that show live. But fans, that pretty much does it for us this week. You can always follow us on Facebook and Twitter at FOW Radio. You can listen to this episode again, please do, many a times we enjoy it. And all future and past episodes on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. And we will soon be available on, what is our next platform, Patrick?
Google Play.
We'll soon be available on Google Play. FOW on Woo-hoo. Google Play coming soon. You can follow Patrick on Twitter at YellowmanPA, the Scream Queen, if she would like to give any of her plugs of social media, is more than welcome to do so at this time.
I am on Twitter at Mika Villas. That's M like Mary, IKAV like big 3ILLES. Don't ask, just follow me.
Follow the queen or she will beat you up.
She'll beat you up.
Scream in your ear.
Scream in your ear like a siren and a banshee wrapped in one. I am on Twitter at Danny F in Danger. And that pretty much does it for us here outside the Fed.